Good morning. You may be seated. I am Jared, and we welcome you to Replicate Church, and we're so honored to have you join us today. If you're new here, you're especially lucky today because I know Jared Smith was out there greeting everyone. There's very few men that are as loving and kind as Jared, so wow, that's two Jareds. You're about to meet the third one. But anyway, yeah, such a joyful man, and really, really enjoy seeing him when he's on the Connect team out front. And speaking of the Connect team, I'd like to direct your attention to the bulletin. There's a small Connect card there. Whether you're new and this is your first time, or you have some prayer requests, or just or next steps, or you just would like to get a message to the pastor or and the staff, and someone will reach out to you. You can give that to pastor at the into church, or just drop it in the offering box on the side there. Today, Pastor Sean Bice will be sharing with us. Hopefully, it won't be his. Yep. Hopefully, that will not be your last time preaching here at Replicate Church, and you'll be back to join us one day in the future. But so I'm looking forward to that today. Also, after church today, please visit the sign-up table. We have small group sign-ups today. Woo! I was looking for that. So we have small groups that meet throughout the week, and it's where church becomes family, and you make those more intimate bonds between your family here at Replicate Church, and study the Word every week, and it's just such a blessing to have those small groups. So if you're interested, those will be in the back there, and with the offering box there, we that's one of many ways that you can give and help enable Replicate Church reach the lost and serve our community. So we thank you, and we are so grateful for your tithes and offerings. With that, I invite you to pray with me over the tithes and offerings today. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts anchored in your world. You alone are our hope, our rest, and our reward. In a world that shifts and fades, you remain steady and true. As we give our tithes and offerings, we do so in quiet confidence, just as Psalm 62 teaches, not trusting in riches or striving for gain, but resting on your provision. Let this act of giving be a declaration that our security is in you. Use these gifts to strengthen your church, to claim your truth, and to shelter those who seek refuge in you. We pour out our hearts before you, Lord, knowing you hear, you care, and you act. It's in your Son Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. At this time, Pastor Jared will lead us in intentional guided prayer. So please, Pastor.
Thank you. Good morning. I like what you did there, praying through the Psalms. I like that. How many other people prayed through the Psalms this week? Okay, all right. You're going to work on that this week. I did talk to some of you, and you talked about how it kind of definitely changed your prayer approach this week, praying through the Psalms. And so I encourage you to do that this week. The other thing I noticed is I did not get the memo this morning that we were to wear boots this morning. So I'm just looking around. There's a lot of boots. But, hey, you know, you guys can laugh in church. It's okay, all right? We're in a barn, all right? It's not a stuffy place, all right? So one of the things we value here at Replicate is prayer. And so as we, part of our worship, we like to spend some time focusing on the Lord in prayer. And so we use scripture to guide that, primarily use the Psalms. And so this morning we're going to look at Psalm 5, verses 1 through 3. This is what the psalmist writes. It says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch." And so with that, just kind of based off that psalm, we had a couple prompts, just kind of stir your heart in prayer. And so the first is this: God, because you are my King and my God, I praise you today because of blank. So if you're a follower of Christ this morning, you have declared as a follower of Christ, God is your King, Jesus is your King, and he is your God. And so you praise him because of what? If he is your King and your God, there is an abundance of things you could praise him for this morning. Second is this: Lord, I know that you hear my prayers, and because you do, I am asking that you give attention to my cries concerning blank, and that you would respond according to your will. And then lastly, Lord, as you listen to my groanings, lead me in your righteousness. Reveal to me the parts of my heart that need to be shaped by your grace and give me the courage to sacrifice them at the cross. One of the most dangerous prayers we can pray is say, Lord, search my heart and reveal to me what doesn't need to be there. Reveal to me, O Lord, what in my heart does not match with your will, and then ask him to remove it. Ask him to give us the courage to take it out and nail it on the cross and have him crucify it. And so if you're brave enough, I encourage you to pray that last prayer this morning. But we're going to spend the next 60 seconds, 90 seconds, just going to your Heavenly Father in prayer, just you and the Lord. And then I'll close this out this morning. Lord, your word says that you are good and that you are faithful. God, we declare that this morning. We declare that you are good and faithful. We rest in your goodness. We rest in your faithfulness. We praise you for your goodness and faithfulness this morning. No matter what's going on in our life, no matter whether you've answered prayers or you haven't answered or you haven't done what we thought you should do, you are still good and you are still faithful, and we praise you for that this morning. God, we praise you for the gift of salvation, Lord, that you, though we were yet sinners, you still died on the cross for our sins, that you still offer us forgiveness of sins. Not because of anything that we did to deserve it, but because you love us. God, we praise you for that this morning. Lord, and we lift up those in the room that may not yet have a relationship with your son Jesus. God, that they would know the power of your grace this morning. God, they would hear your gospel and realize how much you love them and desire them, and they would accept Christ as Savior. Lord, for those that are believers in the room, God, we ask your Holy Spirit to illuminate your word this morning. God, help us to have understanding over your word. God, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but we would apply your word. We would hear it and seek to obey it, Lord. God, we ask that your word would transform our hearts this morning. We ask that your spirit would just be in this place and that we would encounter you in a very real way this morning. God, we pray that today is about you and not about us. We pray that you are glorified and magnified, that you are exalted as we sing your praises this morning. God, we surrender this time to you. We give you our worship. We give you our praise. We give you our hearts. We give you our prayers. We give you our service this morning. God, we love you. We praise you, and we pray these in your son Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand with us as we continue in worship this morning.
All right, today we're going to be reading Psalm 62, verses 1 through 12, and I'm going to be doing the CSB version of it. I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. How long will you threaten a man? Will all of you attack as if you were a leaning wall or a tottering fence? They only plan to bring him down from his high position. They take pleasure in lying. They bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. My salvation and glory depend on God, my strong rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. Common people are only a vapor, important people an illusion. Together on a scale, they weigh less than a vapor. Place no trust in oppression or false hope in robbery. If wealth increases, don't set your heart on it. God has spoken once. I have heard this twice. Strength belongs to God, and faithful love belongs to you, Lord, for you repay each according to his works. And that is God's word.
Amen. Thank you, Heidi. All right, so we're going to pray over you guys as you head out into school this week, some as teachers, some as students, and we're going to pray for parents as well, as some are sending kids out for the very first time. Some are going to, making the transition from elementary to middle to high school to college, so I know it's going to be an emotional time as well. We're going to pray over you guys. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for every person represented here, Lord. God, your word says in Matthew 28, Lord, that we are to go forth and make disciples of all nations, that we're to share the gospel, God, your word says we are to be salt and light, that we are to be encouragers, that the glory of the Lord should shine through us everywhere we go. So I pray for every student and teacher represented in this room. God, that your Holy Spirit would empower them as they go out tomorrow. God, that you would calm any nerves. God, that you would remove any anxiety they may have. God, that you would bring comfort and peace to their soul, but that you would empower them to be the salt and the light as they go into their schools. God, that you would remind them that they have been placed in that place for such a time as this, that you are working boldly through them, God, and they are able to speak to a people that only they can speak to. God, so encourage them. Help them to be bold. Help them to be courageous in their faith. Help the light of Jesus shine through everywhere they go. May you provide opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to share your love, to share your gospel, to encourage, to lift up, to strengthen other believers in those settings. God, to push back the darkness that is there, Lord, and let your light shine through. Lord, I just pray that you would be over every person here. You have a hedge of protection over them, that you would just, again, just empower them as they go forth. Strengthen them as they go forth. Help them to rest in the presence of your Holy Spirit as they go out. God, and we would see you do a mighty work in them. We would see you just transform schools and families through those represented right here. From the tiniest amongst us to the oldest amongst us, that they would fearlessly declare your name and worship you wherever they go. God, we love you and we praise you. And we pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated, kids. You guys can head back to rep kids this morning. A couple of things as they're making their way back this morning. You guys are all going back to school tomorrow. I know people are finishing up vacations and stuff. So as always, make sure you're getting that weekly text blast to stay up to date on what's going on at Replicate. And make sure you're following us on social media just so you're in the loop. But a couple of things. Small group signups are going on today at the back table. If you check it out and you're like, hey, there's not a small group that meets when I'm able to meet, there'll be a couple extra added next week as well. And then if you're like, man, there's still not one that meets when I need a small group to meet, come see me. Because we can make something happen there. But a couple of things as far as small groups go. If you're looking for the men's small group that meets on Saturday mornings, just be on the lookout for that. We're going to revamp a few things with that, and you should see that next couple of weeks. But it hasn't gone away. We're just having to tweak it a little bit. And then with that, I also want to just encourage you guys this morning. If you've never been in a small group, that's where life happens here at Replicate. That's where you're loved on the best here at Replicate. And so I would encourage you to be bold and brave this morning if you've never signed up for one to get plugged in. We even have some that meet every other week. If you're like us and you have kids and you're running a million different directions, you're like, I can't do every week, but I could do every other week. We have several of those that meet throughout the week. And so I'd encourage you to get plugged in there. So this morning, Sean Bice is going to bring God's word this morning. As he prepares to head over to New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary this week. So he's going to bring God's word this week. And so, Sean, you go ahead and come up this morning. Next week, we're going to start our fall series in the book of James. But we're looking forward to what the word that God's put on Sean's heart this morning. So if y'all would, welcome him this morning and give him your attention.
Can you guys hear me? All right. Thanks, Pastor Jared. Okay. Good morning. It's good to see you guys. Cool to share this Sunday with you. One of the things that was kind of on my mind for the Sunday was just thinking about the past few years here at Replicate and how awesome it has been to be a part of a church family that has grown, certainly in some ways in size, but just in maturity as well. And being somewhere where just the idea of following Jesus that looks like obedience really takes place. it's a sign of growth, right? For there to be change, because we're a body, we're the body of Christ, and bodies need to grow and change, right? That's a good thing. And sometimes you see that change really over longer periods of time. You know, sometimes change happens so gradually, we don't always know it's happening till we've looked back over a long period of time. And especially if it's with ourselves, right? A friend of mine was telling me recently some of the ways he's observed change in my life over the years, and I kind of said, yeah, you know, I missed my hair too. That was a rough change. But okay, there's another kind of change really that's happening now at Replicate Church that you've probably picked up on, and that's a change that's happening with prayer. And there's kind of a movement with prayer for us. So if you are noticing that, if you're noticing that and feel like maybe you're a little bit of an outsider to prayer, know that there is an open invitation for everyone to be a part of what's happening with prayer, and an open invitation for you to be a part of prayer being a part of your life in a different way. Okay, so last week, Pastor Jared talked about prayer a little bit, and he referenced CrossFit a lot, right? I think secretly he wants to be a part of that group, but that's a different topic. You know, it was a couple years ago now that Ben and Heidi actually invited me to start going to their CrossFit gym with them, and it was just kind of the right time for me to do that. And, you know, I showed up to this new location, and there was a lot that was new, right? There was a lot I'd never seen or done before, some things I was familiar with, but a lot that I was not. And so, you know, for example, we'd start a workout and everybody would get out, you know, these big heavy bars. I learned those are called barbells, right? And then they would start to set out different weight plates that they were going to use, of course, to begin building strength, right? But what happened early on when I was there is that the coach would walk up to me with a length of PVC pipe and say, here, Sean, you're going to start with this piece of plastic, right? And that was really important because I needed to learn how to move correctly, right, before I did things with heavy weight and potentially injured myself. And that has become kind of an analogy for me when it comes to my faith in this way, that I can, there's a kind of learning I can do by watching a YouTube video about how to do something, right? There's a kind of learning I can do by watching other people who have experience. There's a kind of learning where I can read about a topic, right? But there's also a kind of learning that only happens and a kind of growth that only happens for me when I start to try to do the thing myself, right? So the translation, right? Pretty immediate here, analogy to prayer, that maybe you're showing up to this life of faith and it feels like everybody else has years of experience and they know what they're doing. Maybe it feels like you've read a lot of good things about prayer and you feel inspired every time you read. You've listened to a good sermon. You feel, you know, all the good vibes from listening to that sermon. But until you start to put it into practice yourself and take some of those first steps and do something small every single day, you're not going to really experience growth for yourself. You know, and in some ways, you know, Pastor Jared is kind of like a coach for us, right? And he is trying to lead us in growing in prayer. There are other ways and other methods to grow in prayer, but if you are here, then you can put your trust in God that he has provided you with the model that you need to learn and grow in that way, right? So I just wanted to kind of give that challenge. I need that for me, that we don't want to condition ourselves to hearing God's word and feeling good about it and then never doing anything, right? That's conditioning ourselves for disobedience. So what I have to learn about prayer, it's a message to me. It's not going to come from more reading, more watching or listening. It's going to come from being committed to practicing a little bit every day. And so that kind of takes us to Psalm 62 here. And, you know, there's a question about why Psalm 62. I was asking that as well. You know, twice in this psalm, we read about waiting in silence. Waiting in silence. And it was actually this time last year, it was August of 2024, I was asked to preach, and the text was Psalm 131. And the central idea there, I have calmed and quieted my soul. And so what I have to say on that is this message today is not for me to anyone else, okay? What I am sharing today is what the Lord is telling me needs to be more a part of my life, right? And so silence and quiet and those kinds of ideas seem to be where there needs to be growth for me. So this psalm, like many others, you know, it models for us how to come to the Lord in prayer. When we read the Psalms, we're reminded of who God is, we're reminded of who we are, and how we relate to God, right? So our big idea for today is this: trust is prayer, and prayer is trust. Trust is prayer, and prayer is trust. So let's all kind of pray together here before we continue in Psalm 62. Heavenly Father, we look to you. Lord, we see that you are seated on your throne. And Father, we know that Jesus, who in obedience completed the work you gave him, is seated next to you. Lord, we acknowledge your presence here with us now and ask for your help, hearing your voice and understanding the truth that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to talk about Psalm 62 in a couple of different sections here. The first section is verses 1 through 7. And what's different about this section from the rest of the psalm is it's sort of like a personal prayer that David is praying. So this first section, verses 1 through 7, is a kind of a personal prayer. And I think a big idea from this section is this, that prayer changes our perspective. So prayer changes our perspective. And if you read commentaries about this, they make an interesting note about these first 7 verses. Look with me at verses 1 through 2. Verses 1 and 2. David is telling us who his God is, right? He says, God is my salvation, my rock, my fortress. David is convinced that because of this God, he will not be greatly shaken. So he sort of, again, in prayer, but he shows us who his God is. Then if you look at verses 3 and 4, there's a little bit of a shift. Because now, instead of talking about who God is, David is talking about who he is and his circumstances. So we see this phrase, how long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall and a tottering fence? And when he says how long, he's saying there, this has been going on a long time, right? I am weary and worn out. In fact, he gives us the image of a fence that's about to fall over. He said, I feel like right now I'm on my last legs. I'm about to collapse here. And we learn a little bit in verse 4 about what's going on. He has these attackers. They're trying to ruin him. And not only that, but they seem to take pleasure in falsehood. They delight in deceit. They tell David one thing to his face, but the truth is another behind his back, right? So David moves from talking about who God is to talking about his circumstances and his troubles and struggles. And then we get to verses 5, 6, and 7. And we see repetition here. David turns his thoughts back to God. You know, he uses the same language, my hope, my salvation, my rock, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. And not only does he repeat what we saw in verses 1 and 2, but he kind of expands on that. My salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. Okay, so check out the structure here of these first 7 verses. We have 1 and 2 about God, 3 and 4, my circumstances and struggles, and what's going on with me, my weakness, 5, 6, and 7, again about God, but with emphasis. When you read about this, the structure, the effect is this. One person said, the effect is to surround the attacking enemy with the power and protection of God. You know, David is reminding himself who God is. He's preaching to himself. And as he looks at God, that puts his circumstances in perspective. These attackers, his own state of being weak and helpless, are all insignificant compared to who God is. So these first few verses here, they give us perspective, and they really kind of illustrate what Jesus taught when he taught about prayer. When we say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," in each prayer that we start, we are honoring God for who he is first, before we do anything else. As a model for prayer here, Psalm 62 teaches us to turn to God, acknowledge who he is. That doesn't mean we forget about or ignore our circumstances, but we see them in light of God's power. How about we call this a prayer sandwich, okay? Have you heard of a compliment sandwich, right? Compliment, criticism, feedback, compliment, right? This is in a small way what's going on with prayer here, that I look to the Lord, I acknowledge who I am and what's going on with me, and I turn back to the Lord again, right? Okay, so prayer changes my perspective. Let's look at verse 8. The verse 8 here changes the tone of the psalm a little bit, and it's really like a bridge between the first section and the last four verses. So verse 8, the big idea for us, in prayer, I give all of my heart. In prayer, I give all of my heart. Verse 8 says this, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Okay, so here's the shift. The first seven verses, kind of a personal prayer. David is talking about himself and what's going on for him. Verse 8, he shifts to now he's talking to God's people. He's saying, because of what God has done in my life and because of who he is for me, because of my personal testimony, I can preach to you with confidence about who this God can be for you. You can put your trust in him too. You can be honest about your weakness and vulnerabilities. God is a refuge for me. He can be a refuge for you. God is a refuge for us. So let's talk about some word definitions here. We hear the word trust a lot. We hear it a lot. It's used a lot. If you look at how it's used in Hebrew, the idea is I'm making a decision to set my hope or my confidence in something or someone. I'm making a decision to put my hope or confidence in something or someone. When I trust in that person, that comes with feelings of safety and security. If I'm not sure whether I trust something or not, maybe I need to kind of do a little gut check. What is my gut telling me about this, right? Do I want to avoid that? Or do I actually feel calm and secure when I think about where my hope and trust is? Okay, so trust, I'm making a decision. It's intentional. It's a choice. I'm choosing to set my hope or confidence in God. How about pour out? Pour out. What does it mean to pour out your hearts to God? Well, on the one hand, this means that our prayers are intense, right? It means that they're emotional. It means that when we come before the Lord, we're not superficial, we're not half-hearted, we're not careless when we're in his presence, communicating with him. This phrase, this idea of pour out is seen in all over the Old Testament, actually, but another example is Lamentations 2:19. We read this, "Cry out in the night. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord." Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. And this idea of pouring out, if you were to tip, you know, some sort of vessel over, it's not like only some of the water comes out, right? Whatever the liquid is, it's all going together. So when we pour out, we're not holding back. If we do hold back, what's the message there? If we do hold back, I think the message is, Lord, I'm going to keep this to myself because it's not safe with you. God, I'm going to kind of hang on to this part of my life for now. I can't trust you with it. In prayer, we are meant to give all of our heart to the Lord. We can trust him because of who he is. He is trustworthy at all times and in all circumstances. So in prayer, I give all of my heart to the Lord. Okay, that leads us then, this sort of bridge verse leads us to the third section in verses 9 through 12. And I think a big idea coming from this third section here is this: prayer leads to wisdom. Prayer leads to wisdom. There's your 3 points, Mike, by the way. All right, prayer leads to wisdom. You know, in this final section, David is still, he's kind of preaching to God's people, right? And it reads a little bit like the book of Proverbs. It's like we're reading these short, wise sayings. And if you look at verse 9, we have this image of a scale. Some of the translations say balances. In the balances, they go up. When they are weighed in the scales, all of them together are lighter than air. NIV here, if weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Now, okay, maybe some folks would love to get on a scale and see that it says you weigh nothing, right? That might make a lot of people very happy. That's not the kind of scale we're talking about here, right? You know, back in this time when you went to the market to do your shopping and your business, a scale was used by the people selling things to make sure that the currency you're giving them was actually worth something, right? You wanted what you gave the seller to weigh. You wanted it to go down. You know, when you hand the guy your coin, right, you wanted him to see that it's weight. It's weighty. It has mass and density and value, right? So when we read this here, that people are a delusion or they go up in the scale, the idea is that they're worth nothing. They have no value. Okay, so what is he talking about? Those of low estate, those of high estate. The idea is this: the entire spectrum of society, right? Whether we're talking about people society considers at the bottom of the ladder, whether we're talking about people society counts on the very top rung, from top to bottom, there is no one, no section of society that is worth putting your trust and hope in. In verse 10, he addresses another temptation there. So we might say in verse 9, you know, that we're tempted maybe to put our hope and confidence in people who seem powerful or influential. I mean, this text just said that's a mirage. It's an illusion. It's a lie. It looks good, but there's no substance there. Well, in verse 10, David cautions God's people against another temptation, and that is the temptation to kind of take things into your own hands. David's saying, don't take matters into your own hands. Don't turn to evil. Don't turn to extortion. Don't try to take advantage of other people or cheat the system to improve your circumstances. And he acknowledged there at the end of verse 10, he says, if riches increase, set not your heart on them. Okay, let's pause for a little detour about riches, right? Because the Bible has a lot to tell us and caution us when it comes to our own hearts and wealth. And we live in a very wealthy society, right? So this is especially pertinent to us. So just make a note of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to read to you a handful of verses there. You're welcome to turn if you'd like. I'm going to start in verse 17 because it's a direct correlation from what we just read. So remember, Psalm 62, David says, if riches increase, set not your heart on them. And then we read this from Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Okay, same message, right? Across Old, New Testament, right? Different authors, same spirit leading them. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Paul reminds, reaffirms, do not put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. And actually, if you back up a little bit early in 1 Timothy chapter 6, you read some further warnings about wealth, right? This is what he says. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. All right, ask yourself for a second if you had to put a number on it. What would you have to see in your bank account to think of yourself as wealthy? Let's adjust whatever that number is to, if I have food and clothing, I will be content with that. The verses continue, okay, this is still 1 Timothy 6. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith. Okay, in a moment of honesty, I'll share this. You know, what usually happens when I read a Bible verse about wealth or money or riches, that kind of thing, I find this voice in my head saying things like this: well, I don't love money. I'm not trying to get rich. I'm not like eager for money. I just want to be a little more comfortable. You know what's a red flag? Is when I read God's word and I start to get defensive. Right? When I read God's word and I start to get defensive, there's something going on in my heart there. So the better question to ask is this: am I content? Am I content? Because if I have food and clothing, okay, I have my needs met. And actually, probably for most of the world today, that's what they have, if that, right? Anything beyond that is wealth. Am I more eager to pursue godliness? Do I daydream and scheme and plan about how to pursue godliness or a comfortable life? All right, that was kind of our detour to 1 Timothy there. But we have to talk about riches and wealth in our heart, right? It's a source of a lot of sin, and it's so available to us in our context and setting. So let's jump back to Psalm 62, and we'll look at these last two verses here. You know, when we get to verse 11, we kind of uncover there more of the foundation for our trust in God. What is that? Power belongs to God. He is strong. And to God belongs steadfast or loyal love. Here's why that's a good reminder, because David already acknowledged in his weakness, he does not have power. And then he advised God's people. He said, all these folks in society who look powerful and influential, that's just a mirage. So David doesn't have power. No one else in the world has power. Who does? God has power. One writer put it this way: power means that God can, and loyal love means that God will. That's the perfect combination. Power means that God has the ability to do something, and his loyal love towards us means that he is going to do it. That's what we can put our hope in, God's power and his love. Well, in the final phrase of verse 12 here, for you will render to a man according to his work. You know, just this is kind of the natural result. What happens when you combine power and love? The combination of power and love is justice and righteousness. It's justice and righteousness. What does that mean? That for those who put their trust in God, he has the power to save them. Right? For those who put their trust in God, they will see salvation. For those who put their trust in anything or anyone else, there will be condemnation and judgment. If you put your faith and trust in anyone or anything else, you will face judgment. So how does prayer lead us to wisdom here? Well, it's the reminder in this last section that only God is worthy of praise. Other people, money, my own clever plans are worthless and unreliable, but God is loving and powerful. Okay, so looking at Psalm 62 here, kind of big picture, you know, prayer, you know, my life of prayer is sort of like the proof of my trust in God. Prayer gives me the perspective I need. I can see my life and my circumstances in light of God's love and power. You know, when it comes to prayer and me pouring out my heart, God is the only one who can be trusted with the contents of your heart. right? He is the only one who is fully trustworthy when it comes to the depths of who you are. I can't even trust myself with my own heart, right? Much less another person. God is trustworthy. You know, and the other thing too is prayer opens me up to receive wisdom because I see life for what it really is. I'm not caught up by kind of the delusions of the world. I fear God for who he is. I'm in a right relationship with him, and I can praise him because that's what I was created to do. Okay, so I want us to think about application a little bit here, and we'll see where this goes. This will be a lot of fun. What do we do, right? We read this passage. We try to understand a little bit what it means. You know, the first thing I want us to think about is verses 1 and verses 5 and this idea of waiting in silence. I've got to move this. Okay, so in verse 1, he says, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence." Verse 5 is a little more emphatic because he's sort of like telling himself, this is what we're going to do, wait in silence, like a command, right? Okay, a lot in the Psalms is sort of metaphor, right? It's an imagery to help us understand something. Waiting in silence is not a metaphor, okay? The necessity of waiting and stillness and silence and quiet is not a nice idea for us. It is literally what we need for prayer. These are decisions that we have to make about what we do with what's happening in our heart. So notice this, that the silence, the waiting, don't happen when circumstances change and the stress goes away. It's not a psalm about wait for the people to stop attacking you and you have a little peace and quiet and then come to the Lord in prayer. The command, the expectation for there to be silence in your life is a decision that you have to make. It's something that you have to cultivate yourself. What's happening tomorrow, right? We're starting the school year. How busy is it going to be? How busy is fall going to be? How busy is the end of 2025 going to be? How about the rest of your life, right? How busy is the rest of your life going to be? You cannot wait for silence to just happen for you, right? That is something that we are commanded to cultivate for ourselves. Okay, here's an example, by the way, a biblical example of another time that God's people were commanded to be silent and still. You can read about this in Exodus 14. You know, Moses has led the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt, okay? The Lord directs them to camp by the Red Sea so that it's to their backs, knowing that Pharaoh, full of vengeance, has gathered his armies to find them. So you wake up one morning, you've just been led out of captivity in Egypt to find a giant body of water behind you and your enemies and their armies camped around you, right? And in that moment, when your fight or flight system is going crazy, right? What's gonna happen? What are we gonna do? This is the message the Lord brings to his people. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. In other translations, you read, the Lord will fight for you, and you can be still. It's really in those times of great chaos, in circumstances where you are powerless and have no control, that you need to be silent and still before the Lord. Diane Langberg is a Christian psychologist, so she's dedicated her career to survivors of trauma and abuse, and she shares in one of her stories about a conference she went to, and the speaker was a survivor of 9/11. So this is what she says here. She, being the speaker, survived the tragedy of September 11th. It was quite a story, and she told it well. She talked about running down halls and sidewalks, watching people trampled. She remembered the young and wealthy dropping their expensive briefcases and computers as they fled. She said that while she was fleeing for her life, she felt afraid and anxious, of course. She tried very hard to remember some Bible verses. She wanted to comfort and reassure herself with them. Nothing came to mind. for her brain was not working as well as it usually did. She said this, "I could only remember his name, but it was enough. I could only remember his name, but it was enough." So, I mean, I can't imagine running while a building is falling down around me, right? I can't imagine being in David's shoes here, but here we have two testimonies of turning to the Lord in that moment is what was needed for me, right? We have to be silent and still when we pray. Okay, in her book, Sacred Rhythms, Ruth Haley Barton, she suggests that when we long for solitude and silence, we're really longing for the Lord. And she challenges us to meditate on two questions. How have I been wanting to be with God? And how has God been wanting to be with me? All right, here's our little illustration here. I have a pitcher of water and a glass and, I can share about, generic life here. We gotta work. We're kind of busy with work. That fills us up a little bit. We gotta kind of take care of the kids, right? That actually takes up a lot of time and energy, huh? How about that? We get kind of tired from helping out the extended family and some of the pressures that go with, being in the family. Sometimes current events set us on edge. We're kind of preoccupied with those things, and we get stressed out about what's going on in the world. Maybe we have a health issue that kind of takes up a lot of our time and energy. And we get to the end of the day, and the kids are finally in bed, right? And it's like, oh, I just want to relax. Maybe I'll watch a little Netflix. Maybe I'll check Twitter. Oh, no, it's called X now, right? Right? Because our national security depends on me being up to date with current events. I wake up first thing in the morning, and I'm checking email. This is an overflowing cup, right? And then we come to the Lord in prayer and we say, all right, Lord, I'm ready to receive what you have for me. And there's no room in the cup, right? There's no room in the cup to receive what the Lord might have for us. Part of that silence and stillness is us not filling ourselves up with our own ideas and strivings and efforts, right? Here's a question for you. Do you believe in God? Here's a follow-up question. Do you know the God you believe in? Do you know the God you believe in? When Jesus teaches about prayer, he talks about going into that inner room, that closet where you can be by yourself. And sometimes we read about prayer and we think about all the things that we need to do. But you know what prayer is, guys? Prayer is a sign that our Heavenly Father desires to be with us. He wants to be with us. That's the God that we get to know, a God who loves us, who wants us to know him and his love for us. So this is not something else to check off of our to-do list, but it's to open ourselves up to receive someone who can receive us in a way that no one else can. You know why Jesus is such a big deal? Because if it was not for him and his sacrifice, we would have no way of being in communion and relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's what we're created for. We cannot do the very thing that we were created to do because of our sin. But because of Jesus and his sacrifice, the invitation and the way is open for us to encounter the Lord in the way that we were meant to and be in relationship and communion with him. All right, I think I got to wind it down here. So, guys, we pray when we turn to God, we pray to a God who wants us to know him, who wants us to know him. I think sometimes in a moment of crisis, no matter what you believe, you might cry out, God help, And I'm sure there are plenty of people who live their lives, kind of shaking their fist in God's face, but in a moment of desperation, they cry out to him. And that is a type of prayer. That's not what's going on for David here. That's not the kind of prayer that this woman was sharing while the skyscrapers were falling around her. In those moments, those were people who knew God, and they knew that he would hear them. And they knew when they turned to him that he would hear them. They knew that they would find peace even in their circumstances, right? We can know God and his love for us. Do you believe in God? Do you know the God that you believe in? All right, I'm going to pray for us here. Heavenly Father, as always, Lord, we lift up our lives to you. Lord, we have confidence. We have confidence that you hear us. There's nothing that we have done that makes us worthy, Lord, of your time and attention. But we are so convinced of your love and care for us, of your desire for us. Lord, we think about the life of your son, Jesus. We think about his obedience, Lord, that he was obedient to death on a cross. Lord, we think about how his life modeled prayer and silence and getting away to spend time with you, and how that gave him the joy that he needed to be obedient to you, even in his difficult circumstances. Father, we recognize now that your word is so meaningful and needful for us today where we are. Lord, we trust that your spirit moves in our minds and in our hearts to make these words mean something to us that they otherwise would not. Lord, we trust that you've put us here today in a body of believers, Lord, so that we could be surrounded by people who model, who show us what it looks like to follow you, that we're with people who, when we don't understand something, when you're moving in our hearts, Lord, that we can turn to our neighbor, to our Christian brothers and sisters. We can be encouraged by them. We can be supported by them. Lord, we want to grow together in loving and serving you. And Lord, as always, we just celebrate. We celebrate what you're doing in this body and what you're doing in this community. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. Help us to remember that our highest and first calling is to you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we want to be more like Jesus. We want to walk with you. Lord, we ask that you would guide our next steps from here, our conversations, the decisions that we make, Lord, that those things would bring glory to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Sean. So as Matt prepares to lead us in worship, I just encourage you guys to take some time and just pray. Just pray. You need to get to the point where prayer is not weird for the follower of Christ, right? We lived in the Western American church where prayer is a weird thing that weird people do. Prayer is the thing that God's people do to commune with a heavenly Father that loves them and send their son to die for him, all right? So we're gonna start a campaign to make prayer not weird again, right? That's what we're going to do. We're going to get hats made and everything, so it's not weird to come and kneel before your Heavenly Father in prayer. It's not weird to wail out loud to your Heavenly Father. It's not weird to gather with other people you're sitting next to and pray to God. It's not weird to do any of those things if you're a follower of Christ. It's what you're called to do. It's how we unleash the power of God in the church and in our lives is through prayer, right? When we pray is when stuff happens, when God things start happening when we pray. It's when the church is on their knees that God starts to move in ways that we never could dream or imagine. So we're going to get to a place where it's going to be common when you walk in this building. There's going to be people praying together as they get ready to lead in kids, as they get ready to worship together. And when somebody says, hey, I got this going on, we don't just say we'll pray about it later. We're praying about it right now. That's where we're going to make prayer not weird, right? And so, and you may leave here and say, that guy's weird for saying prayer's weird. Go into some churches, and prayer is not what it needs to be. We're not going to be one of those churches. So I'm going to pray for us again, and then Matt's going to lead us in worship. And I encourage you to worship and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we again just praise you for who you are. God, we praise you for your goodness and your grace, and we just ask that your spirit would lead us this morning with the time we have left. Lord, empower us as we go out this week. Help us to get in rhythms where we're just spending time with you. Help us to empty out those cups that we fill that Sean mentioned this morning. God, help us to begin to delight in you, to delight in spending time with you. God, God, help us be intentional about carving out that time to just sit alone in silence, allowing you to fill our cup. God, may prayer not be something we get to, but that it be a priority every day that we wake up. God, and we just anticipate the mighty things that you're going to do through a praying people. We anticipate the lives that are going to be transformed, the people that are going to come to faith in Christ, the things you're going to do in this city and around the world through a praying people. God, we look forward to the miracles we're going to see, the healing we're going to see, the maturity in followers of Christ, the freedom from sin that we're going to see, the bondage broken in the lives of people because your people started to pray. So God, we just surrender our lives to you this morning as followers of Christ. We ask that you work in us and through us. We lift up those that do not yet know your Son as Savior, that this morning would be the day of salvation. They would receive your gospel and know how much you love them. They would have the hope that we have in you this morning, the hope of eternity in heaven with you. God, lead us as we worship you this morning. We just pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, you may be seated for just a couple quick announcements, please. And before I forget, Pastor's standing in the back. He would love to meet you and speak with you. Or if you just have anything you'd like to share with Pastor, he'll be there after service today. Also, Tim with the backwards hat there in the back, still filling our Replicate Church lawn service truck. Trailer, as you were. So if you do have any lawn equipment you'd like to donate, please see Tim. And for those of you who weren't aware, a couple months back, there was a family in need, and they were out here in American Farms, just the property completely overgrown. I wasn't able to be there that day, but I heard about it. I heard that the grass was this tall, and as you began to clear it, you found all kinds of things that you wouldn't believe we're in the middle of the yard. But anyway, but they did a tremendous job, and the team here came together, and they were able to really transform that property in just a couple hours. So that's really what we're trying to do, reach those in need and be able to serve them. And that's really one way that Replicate functions here in East Milton. And without belaboring that, if you see Tim and you'd like to donate some lawn equipment, that's the guy. With announcements, you know, I was looking quickly. I was like, oh man, when's the Foundry Youth going to be meeting back up? And I'm trying to find their social media page, and I found it, and then I looked at the announcements, like, oh, it was already there. But anyway, so they're going to be meeting up with the parents and the kids on the August 20th to get that kicked off. So we look forward to that. So that's for your teenage kids, and they meet every Wednesday night. So if you're interested, that'll be whenever they kick off this year. There was something else. I also want to thank Ben and Heidi and those who were able to volunteer last night for the date night for couples. So that's part of, yes, you can clap. That's part of the Three Chords Marriage Ministry that they have established here at Replicate, and they'll also be meeting again on September 13th. So we look forward to you joining us if God put that on your heart. And please, it's a great time. I really enjoy going there with my wife and being with the other couples. Replicate Women's, they've got a couple events coming up. If you check the sign-up table in the back, they have the conference coming up at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and then also the women's retreat. Again, the nerd in me did the math. I was like, you still have time on your side. It's $1.93 a day between now and then. So if you skip that coffee at that new coffee place, you know, or maybe give, you know, it's anyway. There's still time. So if you have any questions about either of those events, you can see Tammy and Marie right here. And I believe that concludes all the announcements. So we thank you for being with us today. Thank you, Sean, for sharing the word. And you just reminded me of the signups for small group, because with small group, without small group, I wouldn't have known that Sean also did a little bit of jiu-jitsu. So it wasn't just CrossFit. You tried it, right? He still might know how to put you in an arm bar. I don't know. But anyway, so thanks for being with us today. We look forward to meeting throughout the week, and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless. You're free to go.